I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of The Memo. It's Wednesday. It's hump day.
It sounds so excited about it.
It's the 12th.
It's Wednesday.
It's the 12th of July. Trying to sound chipper.
Oh.
Don't want to bring the listeners down, Derek.
Never. Don't do that.
No matter how rough life gets for me, I don't want the listeners to be down.
Absolutely not. We'd hate to remind them of the impending doom of death and taxes, that we're all going to die one day, and as soon as you're born, you start dying.
And paying taxes.
Well.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to start over? Now that you've depressed everybody.
No, it's fine. They need that reality check.
Today's show is sponsored by the looming specter of death.
Yes. It will come for us all in one form or fashion.
How have you been?
Gloomy.
Glue you.
Gloomy?
Gloomy? Oh, I thought you said...
Not doing too hot today, are you, Brad?
No, I thought you meant glue, as in, the sticky substance. Glue me. Like, what does that mean?
How's your...
Throw some glue at you? Glue me!
Like, what's the longest duration you've ever had hiccups for?
A few seconds, maybe a couple minutes. I really don't get them that much. Usually I'll just hiccup once and I'm done.
Probably a half hour.
Several hours this morning.
You did?
Yeah.
Really? Yeesh. I've never had that happen.
Oh.
Well, you're the guy who can't burp.
Sore.
So
yeah,
that's weird.
So what's your trick for getting rid of them?
I tried it all and it didn't work. hold your breath, drink water upside down.
Try to get somebody to scare you?
Yeah.
That was the one I would always
You know, when I walked in this room and looked at him?
Gone.
Gone. Absolutely nice. Gone. No, I'm still getting them one every once
in a while. Deanna, I hadn't done this one before, and I heard this one before until she did it, but she does 10 sips of water, and that usually works pretty well.
Yeah, I've heard that. That doesn't...
I always get tickled. One of the young ladies that works on the copy desk, Christine, gets hiccups pretty regularly.
She does.
Sometimes during the middle of my news break webcast.
Oh, yeah?
It's kind of funny.
Have you in the wild seen one of these credit card skimmers?
Hmm? I don't have a credit card. I don't know.
You have a debit card.
True.
Like at a gas station?
Like at a gas station.
Skimmers. What do you mean?
Yeah. Well, you know, when you swipe your card, the people are putting them over there. You don't read the Daily Journal much, do you, Brad?
Sure I do.
Okay.
They're
devices
crazy.
That you put over on the gas pump so that when somebody swipes their card, they're getting all your information.
Oh.
Are they pretty easy to spot?
Yeah, in most cases. Some of them are more expensive ones or aren't as much, but I was just looking at eBay how you buy one.
Really?
Because I'm like, well, where are these idiots finding these? But they're on eBay.
If they do that to my car, joke's on them. I'd like to, go use my info to go buy a hamburger.
Were they on?
Card declined.
Sale for Amazon Prime.
Well, why? You just get them for free. They just bring you in ones from the gas station.
Nah. Yeah, I've had heartburn since last week from this huge hamburger I ate.
From last week? I assumed this was yesterday.
No, this happened. I ate it Thursday or Friday.
You are so old.
I've had heartburn since
then.
Tell
the story for people that
So somebody from Classifieds came in and had an extra hamburger that they didn't want from the gas station. So they messed up her order and they gave her an extra burger, whatever. It's really good. But
and
it's really huge burger.
Right after lunch.
It's one of those it's like a smoked. It was 2 o'clock. It was a smoked hamburger. I wasn't even that hungry.
You just got back from eating lunch.
Yeah, yeah. Like an hour before. I was like, sure, why not? I have no willpower when it comes to food. Let me eat this humongous hamburger. It'll be fine. I had the worst heartburn I've ever had that night. And I've had it since then. Until today, I think I'm finally over it. But it was just the worst.
You're going to die. Just like everybody else.
What was your secret for getting rid of heartburn?
And acids.
10 sips of water.
He complained about it for a week.
Lots
and
of
finally
getting scared.
Eased up.
Yeah. I'm old.
It's all right.
We know this.
Brad auditioned for my play last night that I'm directing.
Oh, I did, yeah.
Did he get cut?
He cut me out. He threw me out. I was like, this is terrible. Get out. You're an insult to the art of theater.
No, I physically threw you out. I did not tell you to leave.
You didn't have to throw me out the window, though.
Did you throw a chair at him?
We were on the second story. You could have, just let me leave down the stairs.
Yeah, that seemed far less dramatic fashion than what needed to be done.
Oh, was that your good friend, by the way, that was... with you at the table with you and Debbie Gibbs and what's Upton?
That's my friend Mike.
I meant to introduce myself. Totally forgot.
He's assistant director on the show.
Oh, so. Okay. 39 steps. It's a mix of Hitchcock and Monty Python, and I don't know what else.
That's pretty good. Hitchcock and Monty Python. It's a good description.
Looks fun. It looks fun.
Hmm. So what else could you want? What role are you auditioning for?
Whatever's available.
The female. And he's in the running.
Hey, you're the one that wore a dress in high school for a production.
I did.
Found that out last night, Chris.
I did.
Debbie Gibbs spilled the beans.
I played a con man that was conning everybody, and by conning them out of their money, I dressed up as a little old woman.
Nice.
And at the end, they pulled my wig off. And
what show?
I don't even remember. It was a murder mystery show. I don't remember the name of it. But
way back in high school. Because Debbie Gibbs was your...
That was, more than 15 teacher. Years ago. That was like 17, 18 years ago. Long time.
Hmm.
So,
we're
all going to die.
We'll see if I get cast.
We're all going to die. And here's today's show.
If I don't get cast, I won't hold it against
Derek. He's still talking about it.
What?
Caleb and Dennis, Caleb and Dillion Dennis said joining us today, as well as Emma Kent.
Yes.
And
Bobby Harrison. Bobby Harrison from Jackson.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, that sounds like a packed show. We should probably jump into it.
You don't want to waste any more of your life than you already are.
True, because like you said, we're all going to die.
Yeah. Let's go.
Yay. All right, we got Dennis Sid and Caleb Bedillion in here with us. Going to tag team this. We got a few things to talk about, guys. A lot of development and such going on in the area. Let's start with Fair Park. There's still a good bit of land over there that's just, land, nothing on it, around City Hall. And got news the other day that there are plans now to have some commercial buildings put up there.
That's right. The Fair Park plan has always been to go ahead and develop out to the east of City Hall all the way toward Elizabeth Street there. The master plan, now a lot of this predates me, maybe this is where Dennis could enlighten us a little bit. To some extent, the master plan was to make much of that residential. But right now, the city has entered into an agreement with Colin Maloney of Century Construction. And the roundabout by Mugshots, the city's going to take that roundabout out, and that road, they're going to continue further. I guess that would be south. And then they're going to connect that to Elizabeth Street. And there will be like a parking plaza there of some sorts. And then Maloney is going to build a office park there, an office building. The plans right now have two buildings on there. But I think right now the goal is just to get one of those office buildings constructed by next June. Dennis, what? I think Colin told you four stories, or that came from the Ridgeland office,
right? Yeah,
that
came from, he's got several offices in the Ridgeland office. Their statement was that it's going to be a four-story building. We've heard two-story buildings, so maybe it'll be three, but one of the plans is for Colin to move his business off Robert E. Lee Drive to Fair Park and, of course, find other tenants. That's the big thing, is to fill that office space.
Right.
So I guess depending on who commits to it will determine the size of the building that's going to be
right.
in that place.
There are rumors, of course, about who might go into the building, but nothing really confirmed on the record. I think right now just the statement is there's no signed leases right now for that office building. So assuming that's a success, then the hope from the city's end is that this would spur increased commercial construction in that area. And this would be the area directly south of Mugshots, Tommy Morgan, that area, to the east of City Hall. There's room for commercial development there. Now, obviously, there's also on some of the plans I've seen, there's some hope still getting some mixed-use properties built and still getting some residential expanded. Obviously, there's the Fair Park subdivision, which is directly behind City Hall. I know that the 2008 housing crash kind of put a pause on a lot of the plans to develop that residentially. I think some of those plans are still alive, but we will see how that develops.
And Maloney is supposed to invest $12 million into this project.
That's what the story says.
Yeah, yes. And the city's going to kind of do some infrastructure improvements. Obviously, you need to do some expand the sewer lines and then whatever.
That's right. That's right. This is kind of a public-private partnership, the sort of thing we hear a lot about. So the city will expand the road. Like I said, of course, that'll be a public road, but they're also going to install some of the sewer water infrastructure that that building will require. And now in exchange for the city putting in some of this infrastructure, of course, they've signed an agreement that, yes, obligates Maloney to invest about $12 million, as I recall, into his private development.
Yeah,
I think only $6 million of that has to be spent by next year. So I would by next June.
Right.
So I would assume that is the first of the two buildings that are indicated on some of the conceptual drawings that the city has released.
Yeah, we've seen downtown has really kind of been booming for several years now. That whole Fair Park District area. So I guess, Dennis, you've been here for a lot of that. I guess this is kind of a natural next step.
Yeah, you know, plans have changed over the years. You know, it was a big push for residential. And, of course, as Kayla mentioned, it's always been a goal for it to be a mixed-use development. And I guess it's one of those chicken and egg type things. You know, in order to get more residents, you want more stuff to do and for more things to pop up. They like to have those rooftops there, you know, to support it. So, you know, someone has to take a step, and I guess this is one of those steps in trying to push one way and get the results they desire. You know, it's Fair Park hasn't become exactly what they envisioned, but again, you know, this is, you know, a 20-something year plan, and you have to kind of roll with the punches. And as Caleb mentioned, you know, Great Recession of 2007 and 2009 was, put a dent in the housing hopes. You know, one of the things is to find affordable housing, and there's always the argument of, you know, how to define affordable, and is Fair Park the place for that? So,
Speaking of affordable housing, also we had a story today about Mill Village and some proposed project there to build several homes.
Mm-hmm.
A 2.5-acre plot.
Yeah, so the obviously the developments at Fair Park are commercial, but the city is still putting a lot of efforts into getting, as Dennis said, new rooftops, residential rooftops into other parts of the city. So there's about a 2.5-acre plot of land that the city now owns that's in Mill Village, and that's off Magazine Street behind Calvary Baptist Church. And there's a little alley, Frisco Alley, Frisco Lane, it sometimes gets called both. And the city owns this property, which is to the west of Frisco Lane. And the planning committee has given a preliminary approval to a subdivision that would be located there. Now, the city still owns the property. They had requested last year proposals seeking private developers that would kind of take that project. So the plan right now is, once there's actually a subdivision plat to be approved, the city would either sell or potentially give the property to the developer, subject to a memorandum of understanding, which is the same kind of strategy that was deployed in Fair Park. So what was approved at the planning committee on Monday is just the subdivision of those 2.5 acres into 22 individual lots. No house plans have been submitted or approved yet. So those would houses, according to Shane Hooper with Development Services, would be about 1,200 to 1,400 square feet.
Sure.
So not real big, but that's going to keep them cheaper. Some of them may be sold. They may be rented. Some of that has not quite been determined yet. These houses will probably look similar, maybe perhaps a little smaller than some of what's been built in the West Jackson area with those new neighborhoods that NDC and the city have moved to incentivize. Only difference being those, it's always been kind of non-negotiable. Those houses on West Jackson would be owner-occupied.
Sure.
Because that area was heavily rented, and they're trying to kind of change the character of that street. Mill Village, I feel like, you know, what I'm hearing from the city is that area is already diverse. There's a lot of renters, but a lot of homeowners too. Yeah. So they're open to renters there, just as long as it's high quality housing.
Sure. And so what's the next step for that project?
Next step, I assume, would be some kind of actual plans, housing plans, drawings to be approved. to go ahead and get the formal subdivision plat moving forward, and then try and get that city-owned property into the private sector. Don't really have a timeline on that yet. Shane Hooper told me still some questions that have to be answered there.
Sure. All right, switch gears, Dennis, back to you. I can't remember if we talked about it on the podcast, but the senior living community that has been proposed, Bruce Patel, I guess you'd call him a local hotel magnate.
That's a fair term.
Yeah. Anyway, so he's got this $50 million development that's proposed. Again, a senior living community, going to call it, what are they going to call it? Pinnacle Point of Tupelo. So they cleared a couple of hurdles earlier this week, didn't he?
Yeah, the planning committee, one of the things they had to consider was a review of the application for use of in this mixed-use residential area. And then follow-up to that was tied to it was the approval of the site plan for the development. And senior care living community, life care community, however you want to call it, they've been switching terms. But anyway, this community would sort of anchor this $50 million development. We're talking a two-story, 100-unit senior living center, and then almost two dozen combination duplexes, single-family home, sort of independent living type cottages on the property, which is on North Gloucester behind where the Comfort Suites and Sleep Inn used to be. Mr. Patel bought that property leading up to Legion Lake. And part of the plan, too, is to have two roughly 14,000 square foot retail buildings flanking either side of this entrance boulevard. And then there are two out parcels on North Gloucester that ideally would be suitable for restaurants. Sure. So all told, that would be roughly $50 million, several hundred jobs. But the biggest thing was to get the plans for this community going. And there was concerns, opposition from neighbors, residents around Legion Lake, concerns about environmental impact, concerns about, you know, losing the view, lots of, you know, clearly, you know, the folks had bought homes, had a view of the lake, and now they're concerned, well, now we're going to have this community here, a senior living community and rooftops that are going to be in our way. But after, you know, a few discussions, ultimately the planning committee approved the request. Now, that doesn't mean the project is a complete go, because there's things can change. You know, they're going to do a full review, which means they might say, well, this can't go here, or you need to do this, you need to do that. So nothing's set in stone. But I think I'm sure if there's another review, which, you know, down the road those concerns will be voiced again.
Yeah. I mean, I know that Pat Faulkner, the Tupelo City Planner, you know, if there are any changes to this original plan, to the site plan, they would have to go through this whole approval process again, right?
Right. And I think it's a classic case of NIMBY, not in my backyard, because several people said, you know, this is a good idea. We think it's a great idea. We're not against it. It's just, we're concerned that, you know, what it's going to do to the aesthetics of the area.
Sure, yeah.
And in fact, one person said, you know, basically, I don't want it in my backyard.
There you go.
Which is understandable, I think.
Certainly.
You know, so the city has to balance, you know, the needs and desires of the residents and then the needs of others who, you know, clearly, you know, the 62, the baby boomer generation, which is retiring every day.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen the need for developments like this, and you know, probably two or three more are needed in the area alone. So this is a big step, and you know, we'll see how the process grinds out.
Yeah, and I think it's the Bel Air neighborhood that's located close to this.
Yeah, and several
and some others.
Know,
yeah.
You know, and the American Legion Post itself is concerned about, you know, what's going to happen.
Yeah.
They would like an environmental impact study, but city code doesn't require it. And Faulkner said, "Yep, you know, none needs to be done." So
does Patel seem sensitive to these concerns? Best you can tell.
Yeah, I mean, he said you can't make everybody happy. We're going to try our best, but you know, clearly as a developer, you know, you want stuff to happen. So,
sure, sure.
One of the concern, one of the residents there was concerned that one of the single family homes, and single family homes is probably not an accurate description. It's a 1,400 square foot cottage for someone 62 years older, and it's gonna,
right.
But she was concerned that you know it's going to be she. Said, Mr. Patel, please come to my house, look out my backyard, and, you know,
yeah.
The foliage and the greenery is going to disappear. And there was going to be a one of those homes sitting right there, basically. It would be 14 foot lower than the elevation of her house, but her argument was, well, you know, I'm still going to see the rooftop. So Patel said, all right, I'll just remove that house off the plan right now.
Hmm.
And there were some who wanted assurances that the foliage and yeah. The landscaping would remain, and they wanted promises. And he said, well, you know, in developing the property, you don't know. I can't tell you what trees will be saved, what daffodils will be saved, or anything like that. True. And we'll just have to see how it goes. And so it's a balancing act that the city has to consider, you know, the good of the community as a whole versus an individual neighborhood. So it's not an easy decision. Thus, the 4-3, 4-2 vote, you know.
Right. Yeah, not unanimous. Yeah. Okay, well, good stuff from both of you guys. A lot of development going on in Tupelo. All right, thank you. And be sure to look for the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps. New episodes every Wednesday. You can listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. No episode this week, though. Gene is busy with other things, so we'll try to get back next week with Prep Rally. Also, Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, check out the Double Coverage podcast. Ole Miss reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release new episodes each Thursday in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and Rebels. The guys have been on a hiatus, but they are back this week. Be sure to look for the episode. It should drop either tonight or Thursday morning. They're at SEC Media Days. Dan Mullen and some MSU players were met with the media on Tuesday. Hugh Freeze and Ole Miss will go on Thursday. So the guys will have basically a recap of MSU and a preview of Ole Miss, what's going on there in Hoover, Alabama, and all that madness with SEC Media Days.
Don't forget, you can also wake up and get ready for your day with the Daily Journal's News Break, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a 5-minute video. Shows are posted each weekday at 7 a.m. at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices. Something really cool you can do with News Break, because you get to see Brad every day, is if you go back and watch a really old one and then watch a current one, you'll see how much he's aged.
What?
Moving on.
But Monday,
it's fine.
Mondays, it's you. Mondays with Derek. It's Hush the prequel now. To Tuesdays with Maury.
Hush now. It's not much like Tuesdays with Maury. It's very disappointing.
Let's go down to Jackson and visit with our Capitol Bureau Chief, Bobby Harrison. How you doing, Bobby?
Hey, Brad. How you doing?
Not too bad, sir. I want to talk a little bit about the U.S. Senate race in 2018. Why? Well, I know it's a ways off, but because Chris McDaniel could challenge Roger Wicker for that seat. Most people should remember that in 2014 he almost unseated longtime Senator Thad Cochran, and now Wicker coming up for re-election next year. Bobby and McDaniel, for all the world, sounds like he's ready to give that a go, isn't he?
Well, he, you know, I talked to him last week, and he said he was seriously considering two races, U.S. Senate race in 2018 or the lieutenant governor's race in 2019. I mean, I guess there would be nothing to prevent him if he ran for the Senate in 18 and lost running for lieutenant governor in 2019. I didn't ask him that. I didn't think about the time. But he said he was – I mean, I got the impression he was going to do one or the other, but I guess – he could do both, but
sure. Yeah.
or directly do both. But so we just have to see. He, you know, as you said, came within an eyelash of unseating, you know, Thad Cochran, who's, you know, pretty much an icon in Mississippi politics. He got more votes than Cochran did in the Republican primary in 2014, but didn't get a majority. And in the runoff, Cochran ran a much better campaign and ended up winning re-election and is now serving as appropriations chair in the U.S. Senate.
You feel like, I know it'll be 4 years between elections, but, you know, given the kind of the growing strength of the Tea Party and the way Ted Cruz performed in his, at least the way he performed in Mississippi during the presidential primaries, and then, of course, Donald Trump, who's maybe not identified as a Tea Party Republican, but probably aligns with McDaniel and others in a lot of ways. But you feel like that can all carry over to 2018 possibly for him?
Well, that's what, you know, that's what he was talking about. You know, he pointed out that, you know, of course, Chris, he's a state senator from McDaniel. He's a state senator from Ellisville in Jones County, and he's been closely affiliated with a Tea Party movement. And he pointed out in the 2016 presidential primary in Mississippi, on the Republican side, the two top vote getters were Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. You know, Cruz was kind of the Tea Party darling for a long time, and Trump took some of those votes away from him, though, but they both, you know, performed well in Mississippi compared to everybody else. And, you know, McDaniel said, you know, that's his base. That's the people with whom he identifies. So he believes that would bode well for him in a 2018 race against Wicker. Now, you know, a lot of political observers, if you will, question whether he could, you know, repeat the success he had in 2014 when he ran against Cochran, whether he could repeat that success against Wicker. You know, Cochran hadn't had a serious opponent in years, pretty much since he was since he ran against William Winter in 84, I guess it was, going back that far, and he beat Winter pretty handily at the time, so he wasn't running much of a campaign, and McDaniel kind of surprised him and had the momentum for a long time. So, but you know, Wicker is prepared. You know, he has a campaign staff in place and is prepared to run an aggressive and well-funded campaign if he has to.
Yeah, well, as he pointed out in the story, you know, McDaniel's not going to sneak up on anybody this time like he did before.
Right.
Wicker, like you said, they're going to be ready to run as aggressive of a campaign, I'm sure, as they need to. So I kind of wonder, you know, how, you know, if McDaniel will try to gauge his chances ahead of time and even, you know, maybe just decide it might not be worth the trouble.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people believe will happen to him. You know, he's talking about it, but he never will run. You know, Wicker is kind of entrenched as a member of the leadership in the United States Senate. Some people might think that's a bad thing. Generally speaking, though, people in Mississippi have liked having their U.S. senators in leadership positions from a historical standpoint. You know, Trent Lott was majority leader. You know, going way back, John Stennis and James Eastland had, you know, positions of power in the Senate for years and years, and now Cochran has the appropriations chair, and Wicker's part of the leadership team. And so, I mean, it would be, if Wicker was defeated, it would create national news and create a sort of a stunning development. But still, you know, it would have been a stunning development if McDaniel had defeated Cochran. He came darn close to doing that.
He sure did. Yeah. So I wouldn't. Yeah. I wouldn't sell McDaniel short. Certainly. Yeah. On that regard. Yeah. And you know, if he loses that or just decides not to run, and then maybe he focuses on lieutenant governor. I know, of course, Tate Reeves by law not allowed to run for a third term, and he's probably going to run for governor anyway. But you know, there's been talk of Delbert Hoseman, Secretary of State, running for a lieutenant governor on the Republican ticket, of course. So, would he have a better shot there at the lieutenant governor spot, Bobby?
Yeah, maybe so. You know, Hoseman is going to be strong. He has great name ID. he has a lot of money in the bank. He seems to be pretty popular. And, you know, in the conventional wisdom, he's going to run for lieutenant governor. You know, I have a alternate theory that in the end he may end up running for governor, challenging Reeves in the Republican primary, but we just have to wait and see. But I think either way, there's going to be another state senator or so, maybe more than one, if McDaniel runs. So I think there'll be another state senator who also runs for lieutenant governor, whether it's Briggs Hobson from Vicksburg or Buck Clark, the appropriations chair, or somebody else. I just think there'll be another state senator running for a lieutenant governor in 2019. The question is, who will run if on the Republican, on the Democratic side? You know, most people believe Jim Hood, Attorney General, is going to run for governor on the Democratic side, but who will be the Democratic candidate lieutenant governor? That may be the biggest mystery at this point. We're still a ways to go before the 2019 election, should be pointed out.
Certainly, long way to go. Not much more than speculation and going on based on what McDaniel has said thus far. But you can find Bobby's story about this in Sunday's Journal, also, of course, at djournal.com. Bobby, as always, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate it.
For more from Bobby Harrison, check out our Capital View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Bobby provides us commentary and analysis on all the issues being debated in Jackson. You can watch live Monday afternoons around 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. The 2017 legislative session is over, but Bobby continues to provide perspective about all the news coming out of the state capitol. Hey, look, it's Emma Kent in here with us, sporting a lovely pink jacket. It looks very professional and also stylish.
Hello. Thank you, Brad.
Just, you know, letting you know.
I appreciate it.
Cool. You dress nicer than I do. But that's not saying much. Most people dress nicer than I do. That's by design on my part. Want to talk with you about these school construction projects. We got a lot going on in Lee County with the Lee County School District and the Tupelo School District,
mm-hmm.
which Tupelo passed that $44 million bond issue 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing a lot of work this summer, as they did last summer. But your story from the other day that ran on Sunday is about how these projects impact the local economy. Because mm-hmm. when you think about it, I mean, it's a lot, putting a lot of people to work.
Yeah.
And putting money, I guess, back in the taxpayers' pockets, right?
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think anybody who reads the paper or listens to this podcast or watches the news knows that there's a lot of construction that's been going on in the past couple of years in both of the school districts. I feel like we're always talking about it, or I'm always writing about it. I mean, those projects, a lot of the people who work on those projects are local contractors or subcontractors or, you know, electricians, plumbers, roofers, whoever it is, whatever they're doing. It's putting local people to work, which, you know, is good for the school district because the school districts rely on local tax dollars to keep them going. So it's kind of a nice circle of life. Is that the right? I don't know if that works, but
circle of economic life.
Yeah, but kind of, you know, it goes full circle.
Yeah, and the school districts, you know, obviously they like to try to use local people on these jobs, but I know with the bid process, you have to go with the best bid, whether they're local or not.
Right.
There's certain rules that apply. You can't just choose someone local because they're local, but still, even then, you can, you know, find maybe they'll use subcontractors that are local.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever they're able to, it looks like I know Jimmy Weeks said that, you know, they try to spend locally whenever possible.
Mm-hmm. Like you said, they have to, on projects that I think it's over $50,000, they have to use the lowest and best bid that they get. So, you know, it might not be somebody in Lee County. It might not be somebody local, but often those people will hire out local subcontractors to work on the project. So you're still, you know, impacting our local economy in that way.
And there's also a lot of these contractors are used to doing these kinds of jobs and may get used more than once in this area. So they kind of know or have that mm-hmm. familiarity. Like you talked with someone from Sullivan mm-hmm. Enterprises out of McGee. They do several of these jobs each summer, don't they?
Yeah, he said this is a huge part of their work. I mean, I think over 50% of what they do is school construction.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a constant flow of work for them, for different contractors, construction companies. I mean, you know, it's helping them and they're helping the school district.
Yeah, Sullivan did work on Milam last year and they're doing work on Lawhorn and Tupelo Middle School this year. So how much does this do all these projects bring into the economy, and how hard or easy is that to measure? I know we had a number in there about $40 million.
Yeah, and it's a rough number. I mean, you know, that's the cost. That's when you're looking at just the cost of the projects that have gone on, and that's Tupelo and Lee County combined over the past couple of years. But there's other stuff to think about, too. I mean, you've got, you know, it betters the community when you have a better public school district, when you've got better facilities, especially I think in my story, I used the example of the Tupelo High School storm shelter. And then a lot of the other FEMA shelters that have been built around Tupelo schools on the different campuses, those are going to be used also by the city. So it's kind of the sharing of resources.
Right. And it's a way to invest into the community. For the school district to do that. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I mean, it saves the city and the school district money if they work together with those types of things. But, you know, it's going to attract more people to our area if we have, a city that's well equipped to handle emergency situations, or a school district that's safe and, updated, you know, so it's kind of, there are numbers, obviously, money spent, how many people you've got employed, but then you've also got sort of these bigger picture things that are...
hard to put a dollar sign on.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, that's going to impact people's perception of our area.
Sure.
And the school construction stuff is a big part of that. I mean,
yeah,
you want your kids, I don't have kids, but I would want them to go to a nice school that's been
certainly
kept up and maintained and, you know... That all that good stuff. So,
and like I mentioned, doing a lot of these projects this summer. They did some last summer. I was supposed to finish everything up by the beginning of the 2018-19 school year, as far as the Tupelo project.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, what are they working on right now, and what projects do they still have to do? Just talk about that a little bit.
Right now, they are renovating Lawhorn Elementary,
mm-hmm.
And that's a pretty big renovation, similar to what they did at Milam last summer, which was a big deal, and at Rankin. Pretty much tearing the place apart and building it again. But it's a lot of work.
Sure.
Because that's an old building. So they're working on that this summer, and they should be close to finishing that up, actually.
Okay.
And then, let's see, Tupelo Middle School was receiving some renovations. Not anything major, but some renovations there. And then they're doing a couple of minor renovations at Parkway. So this summer is really just a lot of renovations. And then after that, they will do a couple more rounds of renovations, nothing huge, just here and there, things that need to be updated.
Yeah.
And, the biggest thing left will be that Tupelo High School storm shelter / gym.
Yeah.
So that'll be a big project.
That'll be cool. I'm looking forward to how that turns out.
Yeah, it'll be cool to see it. I mean, have you seen the renderings, like the design?
Yeah, so it's going to be like a miniature dome, mm-hmm. which the only, I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast, or I've talked about it, or maybe just in conversation with one of y'all, but the only other gym like that around here that I know of is Aberdeen, or as mm-hmm. they call it, the Aberdome
mm-hmm.
over there.
Well, I was going to say, until after the tornado, Smithville built one.
That's right, Smithville.
And I know the other Monroe County schools are talking about doing that, but I don't know if they ever finished.
Yeah, Smithville's got a nice new one. Yeah, that's right. So it may be start becoming a trend around here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a cool, I mean, it's a really interesting use of space. Though
it is.
It's a good way, I guess, to maximize your dollar bang for your buck. So
certainly.
So yeah.
All right, good stuff. We all can read this in Sunday's Journal, Emma's story, also at djournal.com. Follow Emma on Twitter at mcrawfordkent. That's E-M Crawford Kent. Thank you, Emma.
Thanks, Brad.
Bye, Brad.
What?
It's over.
Oh, it's over.
We're done. It's over.
It's over.
It's done.
Why are you still here?
Why are you still here? Go home. It's go over. Home.
Yeah.
If I told you that's happening at my funeral, I've already filmed that. I'm not, and that's just funny that you actually bring that up on the day we talk about death so much. But yes, I've already filmed that. So everybody gets up to leave the funeral, the casket or the urn or what have you has been removed, and then I come out on the video screen and come out in my red bathrobe. You're still here? It's over. Go home.
That would be the best thing ever.
Especially, I'm not kidding. I don't doubt you.
I don't doubt it.
Especially if by that time holograms are a thing.
Yeah.
You could do it as a hologram.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Even better. Sweet.
Well, hopefully you don't have to use it for another 50 years at least.
Have I told the story? I don't know if I've told it on here before, but at my grandfather's funeral, his brother, who I don't see a lot, but looks a lot like him, and I had forgotten, I hadn't seen him in a while, and so it was right after... At the very end, everyone's getting ready to leave, and I turned around and saw him standing there. And I had, like, about 30 seconds, 10 seconds of, like, what?
What? It was a ruse. How old were you?
I mean, it was like 10 years ago.
So you were old.
Actually, no, less than that, 5 years ago. Because, yeah, it was right before Daniel was born.
Mid-20s.
So, yeah.
Mid to late 20s.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, late 20s. So.
Grandpa?
Yeah. It just looked up. I mean, it just startled me. I kind of the crowd parted, and he was just standing right there. Yeah. I was like, wait a minute.
Whoa.
He's coming for you.
And then I realized it's his brother.
Well.
All right. Well.
This was a very depressing show.
I guess we should let our listeners get back to their pointless existences.
Yes. Make the most of your today.
Because you might not have it tomorrow.
That's not what I was going to say.
You should go
do something you've always wanted to do today. Go do one thing for yourself.
Yeah.
Not for anybody else. Be selfish.
Yeah.
Do something for yourself.
YOLO.
Go buy that thing. No, don't do that. Not that word or abbreviation.
I said it ironically, so it's okay.
No. You do a lot of things ironically.
The other day I sent a Snapchat and I said, Jay chilling downtown, and my kids just were terrified that I said that. Because my daughter says it all the time, Jay chilling. And I'm like, you can say just chilling. Just chilling takes just as much. It's just as many syllables to say just chilling. But my daughter says it all the time. Jay chilling. Like, okay, really? So
Chris and I, meanwhile, we're like, no, we've never heard of that.
Those are a bunch of olds, as they call them.
What are you?
I'm a hip old.
What are you trying to hold on to at this point with that hair and the Snapchat? Who are you trying to hide?
Maybe it's my midlife crisis.
I was going through the audition forms last night. Everybody turned one in, and we had asked year of birth on everybody, and I got to Brad's. It was like, whoa! He's old.
Boy, I had disco back then.
Hey, you can find us online at Memo.
Hobbies, Jay Chillin.
Jay Chillin at 212. I don't know what this is.
Hidden talents.
I don't know what this is. You get out of this room right now.
You're saying.
You can find us online at memo.djournal.com and also on Twitter at djournalmemo. These stories discussed today you can find in your daily journal or online at djournal.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at djournal now.
Be back on Friday.
Where he'll be Jay Chilling.
In studio.
Is it Jay Chilling?
Just Jay Chilling.
Just
drop the
just
G.
Just Jay Chilling. Why do you do it twice?
No, I was telling you that it's just Jay Chillin.
We're about to go into an Abbott Costello routine.
Not
please,
Jay Chillin.
Please.
Third base.
It's just chilling. Chillin.
I don't know.
Chillin.
Third base.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a first base?
Guess who performed team? American Woman?
The first one? A version?
What?
Well, Lenny Kravitz did a cover of it, right?
Guess who performed American Woman?
Originally? I know the answer, and now I'm blanking out on it.
He gave
Guess
you the
who
answer.
Who performed American Woman?
Rolling Stones.
It's not a question, it's a statement.
It's guess who performed.
Oh, guess
who. We'll see you guys on Friday.
Shit.